ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Monday, the 9th of February, year of our Lord 2026. Well, today we're going to look at some weird anomalies about Jeffrey Epstein. I think it's going to be an interesting exercise in critical thought and skepticism. The broader issues here, however, are very clear and have been for quite some time. So we're going to take a look at that. We're also going to take a look at Skynet. I've seen multiple articles in the last couple of days saying Skynet is here. And folks, in so many ways, it is. Autonomous killer robots, as you heard the interview from 13 years ago on Friday, they are right at the edge of being deployed. May happen in Ukraine soon by one side or the other. And how far away are we from having them deployed as police? Who needs masked thugs when you've got autonomous cops, robocops? We'll be right back. Stay with us. Yes, Epstein's excessive bed linens, missing cellmate puzzle, say investigators. The monster is alive, we're told. Yes, multiple people are saying this now. I guess the question is, who was the Frankenstein? You know, that was Frankenstein's monster. Everybody refers to the monster as Frankenstein or Frankenstein. If you go to the Mel Brooks version. However, who created this monster? I think the system did, more or less. This is, you know, he is the inevitable conclusion of a demonic, satanic leadership that is absolutely, as we see, I think the key takeaway from this is the lack of accountability and punishment. And that's the worst aspect of this is here in the United States. As this information has leaked out, people in high places in other countries are suffering consequences, even some jail terms in other places. Here, not at all. You don't even get a dent in your audience if you're somebody like Steve Bannon. It's just amazing to me. There's no consequences at all for that. This is how partisanship has blinded us to such evil. As I pointed out last week, it really is a satanic evil. Christians ought to look at this and say, of course this is going to happen. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. Satanic powers are going to strategically put people in who will do their bidding. You know, there is not any formal service, I don't think, where you sign your name on the dotted line like Faust imagine, but they do make that Faustian bargain. They really do. So, again, excessive bed linens. This is another part of the cellmate puzzle investigators are looking at. And we've had a lot of different things that have come up. We'll take a look at these. Massive quantities of sulfuric acid ordered. Is that to dissolve bodies, many people asked? We have the mysterious gaming accounts, which Epstein had used quite a bit, and they went silent for a short period of time. Then they came back under different aliases and coming out of Israel. And so you've got a lot of these issues. We'll talk about these one at a time. A different date on the death notice that he had, a lot of these different things. But I think the central question that I've had from the very beginning as to whether or not he's even dead all centers around the prison. There were a lot of shenanigans and unanswered questions there in the prison. From day one, we knew that. We knew that mysteriously all the cameras had been turned off except for one, which really couldn't see anything.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store,
at a funeral,
in traffic.
Keep your eyes on the road.
Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
It saw a flash of orange going up. Was that an inmate? Or was that somebody carrying blankets that are orange? Well, we don't know. So they said, well, somebody just carrying blankets. It wasn't anybody going into a cell. He was supposedly on suicide watch, but they weren't watching him. The guards were sleeping. The guards committed perjury about what they were doing. The cameras were turned off. Then you had somebody who said at the time, one of these forums put some stuff up, said, folks, I'm scared to death. I saw them take Jeffrey Epstein out in a wheelchair, and I saw them create a box that looked like it was going to be a body and put that in a hearse so they could get the press of all that while there was another car that came up and went the other way. These are things that's been revealed now that the FBI took that seriously and was looking into that, but the guy has now disappeared. A lot of things like that that are there. So, again, now that one of the other issues is, why do you have so many bed linens that were there? Again, remember the flash of orange that mysteriously showed up on one of these cameras. And I guess it was some kind of a low frame rate surveillance camera so they don't get continuous motion. Very low frame rate or something, as they do with surveillance cameras frequently. That was explained away as somebody taking blankets. But, of course, one of the two guards, again, convicted of perjury, guards who were asleep and other things like that, said, we don't ever take linens up on that day. That's done on a different time by different or different person or something like that. So now they're saying there's a tremendous amount of bed linens in his room. And it doesn't just end there. There were questions about the picture of his body and the ear not looking right. Isn't that funny? It's kind of like the Trump assassination. Yeah, Trump's ear doesn't look quite right either for somebody who's been shot in the ear. I guess that's their Achilles heel. In terms of their kill stories. But there were also questions about how unusual his neck injury was. He supposedly choked himself to death by leaning forward. I don't think so. You know, that's the so many different things that happened right there in the prison. That's what got everybody concerned about this. And we reported on this stuff back when it happened, which I guess is now, what, about 6 or 7 years ago. So the city medical examiner ruled that his death was a suicide by hanging. There was immediate pushback against that. Following his death, they revealed that Epstein had excess prison blankets, linen, clothing in his cell, and some of it had been ripped to create nooses. Yeah, was that put up there to set up the narrative? They're trying to give him enough rope to hang himself. it was a neck injury that doctors said they had not seen in 50 years. Very, very rare. Again, not much of a drop. And so the odd thing in the prisons is really this. But of course, this article from the Express in the UK laughingly ends with a line. If you're in the United States, you can dial the 24/7 National Suicide Prevention Hotline. Too bad that Jeffrey Epstein didn't have access to that. You know, just planting the idea, oh, yeah, it really was a suicide. I don't think so. I think it's, if he is dead, he was killed. But I'm not so certain that he is dead. So the guards were charged with multiple counts of falsifying records, conspiracy to falsify records. At the time, they claimed they were scapegoats for larger issues within the federal prison system. In 2021, a judge approved a deferred prosecution deal, which allowed the guards to avoid a conviction and a sentence if they complied with specific terms. So who entered his jail cell? Again, that is, CBS is bringing that back up again. Like I said, we talked about this 6, 7 years ago and about the flash of orange and everything. So CBS does another deep dive into this. And I think of all of the different things that have come out, and there's been a lot of different things, as I mentioned, video gaming, sulfuric acid, and all this other kind of stuff. I think this really is the smoking gun that something is up here. In addition to the bigger picture of how desperate they are to cover this up and why there's been nobody who has the alleged human trafficking. You have somebody, Ghislaine Maxwell, charged for human trafficking, and yet there's no information or prosecution about the people that she trafficked young girls to. The actual pedophiles that are there, nothing about that. No information is allowed. It's called a hoax by Donald Trump. Let me tell you what the hoax is. Donald Trump is the hoax. And we'll talk about his Obama, derangement syndrome, right? ODS, he's a bit odd. But he really does have an Obama. He has a Obama derangement syndrome. He can't get over the fact that Obama got a Nobel Peace Prize, for one. But this whole thing about the cartoon, what's important about that is how people on both sides reacted to that, I think, is the real issue that's there. Anyway, the inspector general logs it as an officer carrying an orange linen or bedding, which makes me like so much bedding. You know, it wasn't people dressed in orange prison jumpsuits going up there. It was just blanket after blanket after blanket being taken up there. Pre-ripped, I guess, so for possible hanging. Or to make it look like that. So anyway, the no official time of death was ever determined.
Is this normal for prisoners? You know, you just request extra linens. Ah, my bed's a little uncomfy. Can I get some more blankets? It's a little chilly.
That may be it. But you know what I think is interesting is they talked about the fact that the prisoners who were there said it was just an ordinary night. There wasn't anything unusual. We were sitting around smoking pot or whatever. It's like, what? You know, it's nothing unusual. Every night we just sat around and smoked pot in the prison. And again, I've said so many times, one of the places where it's very easy to get an overdose is in prison, especially federal prison. And the story is a woman in Maryland whose son was addicted, and she tried everything to get him to stop, but he didn't want to stop. And so she decided that she would turn him into prison. If I put him in prison, of course, that'll stop it. He died of an overdose in prison. And I've said many times, if people can get drugs on a regular basis in such quantity that they can die from overdoses, and it happens all the time in federal prison, what kind of a society do we need to have in order to stop drug use by interdiction and by prohibition? We'll all be living in a prison society, which is exactly what they've tried to do. If you look at all of their so-called solutions that have not worked in over 50 years. If you look at their solutions, they are all pushing us into a literal prison society. And so, what is this, Travis? Is this your name? So you're looking through Epstein files, found another reference to a birthday surprise book.
Yeah.
The one with Trump's alleged note is from 2003. This one was from 2015.
Yeah. And, you know, I looked up special gift because, you know, they're not going to openly say these things, but I figured, maybe that's euphemistic enough that there's something there. And, you know, his assistant is emailing all these people saying, hey, would you write a short story in quotes about having dinner with Jeffrey Epstein and his friends in his dining room in quotes?
And, well, maybe Woody Allen can do a movie about it, right?
Yeah. And there's tons of these emails going out. And there's a couple responses saying, oh, yeah, absolutely. But there's no short stories sent back that I can find. So yeah. Either they mailed them all physical copies, sent them to different emails, or for some reason these particular short stories are scrubbed from the files.
Yeah, Jeffrey Epstein was not very cybersecurity aware. I mean, in a lot of cases you've got, you know, confessions about major crimes that are being alluded to very, very thinly veiled. In some cases, though, he says, let's take this discussion offline. We need to meet face to face. This is when he's talking to heads of state and things like that in many cases.
Yeah. One of the people they sent an email to requesting a story from is Ariane de Rothschild. So.
Oh, yeah. A lot of connections with the Rothschilds and very intimate connections as well. You actually contact people and say, oh, as you know, I am an agent for the Rothschilds. And so, yeah, in terms of the relationship between her and Epstein, he had been a peacemaker for intra-family disputes and things like that. So he was very much embedded in that.
Yeah.
As, you know, we could say Trump's first commerce secretary was as well, Wilbur Ross. No, was it Wilbur Ross? Yeah, I think that was him, who had dealings with Trump and the Rothschild Bank going back to Trump's casino bankruptcies. Anyway, new records raise more questions about activity near Epstein's tier late that evening. Official reviews of his death make no mention of the figure in orange. Later pronouncements from authorities included the attorney general at the time, Bill Barr. And you look at the connections of Bill Barr's family to Jeffrey Epstein. Truly amazing. No one entered Epstein's housing that night, he said. And, of course, as I was just saying, no official time of death was ever determined.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital. And that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
maybe put on his tombstone TBD, right? To be determined when he's actually going to die. may not be dead. So anyway, a staircase leading to a cell tier was captured by the only camera known to have been recording that night. That's not suspicious. Positioned in a way that partially obscured the approach to his tier. That's not suspicious. Because the camera angle, it's not possible to rule out whether someone could have climbed the stairs, entered the tier without being clearly visible. Or if Epstein could have been taken out. So again, this is more of the same things that we've seen for the longest time. And yet, the dog that didn't bark is a real issue now. Trump's efforts to conceal this and the GOP completely owning all of this. That is the most important development of all this stuff, I think. Thousands of pages released as part of a broader Justice Department disclosure, records and interviews describe a largely quiet night. Several inmates told investigators they were using drugs inside their cells, including marijuana and K2. Again, just an ordinary night during the war on drugs, all the prisoners getting high. According to a guard's account, one of these people had been working multiple consecutive shifts and so was sleeping on duty for the period of time, so no cameras turned on and recording. The inmates are all getting high on pot and K2, and the guard is asleep. He's been working too many shifts. So, again, when they asked about the extra linen, the same guard said, "I never gave out linen, ever," she said. "That's done on the prior shift." So they were charged with falsifying information. But the one guard says, "Well, I saw the other one." Noel says, "I saw Thomas taking the noose off of his neck. I was standing at the cell entrance." But Thomas says, "I don't recall taking the noose off. I really don't. I don't recall taking that thing from around his neck." Again, a very, very unusual, rare neck injury. The doctor said, "I don't think I've seen that in 50 years. How long have you been a doctor? In other words, your entire career." So, again, they wanted both Epstein and me dead, said his cellmate. So they deliberately left him unprotected in the jail cell. Well, that'd be one explanation. The other explanation would be that they wanted to get him out of there. So you could look at that from two different ways. And then the sulfuric acid. Epstein reportedly ordered multiple 55-gallon sulfuric acid in 2018. Immediately, some people said, "Well, likely used to dissolve the bodies of children." It is a massive quantity that he ordered. Cost about $5,000, and it was six 55-gallon drums. We're talking about 5,000 gallons here. And 5,000 pounds is what that would weigh. 2.5 tons worth of sulfuric acid. And I guess that was my question about this, because a lot of people say, "Well, there is a legitimate use for that." You know, for an individual, no. But for if he's got an island and he's got a water purifying system, he could use that, right? As water purification. Now, I would imagine he might need to have that. However, I did a little calculations here. Assuming that he had 100 people there that were using water on a regular basis, and that's a lot. I don't think they had that many people there on a regular basis. So he went high, went with 100 people. Said, "Well, you know, how much would that be in the usual amount? You know, you don't use that much sulfuric acid to purify your water, because if you use too much, you aren't going to be around to drink anymore. But you use a very, very small quantity of that." And so if you look at, there are, people do use it for water purification systems. So if you scale it down to a system that would be supplying 100 people, 24/7, around the clock, always there, not coming and going and so forth. If you looked at that, that would be 3 to 6 year supply, depending on water use of people. That's a lot. Did he ever buy any of this at any other time? I don't know. But he spent $5,000 to get it. It weighed 5,000 pounds, 2.5 tons. And so that's a lot of use for a water purification system. Could be that. Maybe he bought, 6 years at a time. A five-year supply, let's say. It'd be interesting to go back and see in his emails if he bought it 5 years prior to that. It was in 2018, just before everything broke on him. And so it can be used to dissolve bodies. There was actually a killer who was known for doing that. And that could, how many bodies could that dissolve? Well, it's kind of interesting. It is, it's a little bit difficult to find that. But according to the best guess estimate that we could piece together, it'd be about 1,000 to 2,000 bodies you could do. Or you could do fewer bodies and do it quicker. That's the issue. So a lot of people pushed back and said, well, it's just water. It's just, it's not.
There are certain people and events where you give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, this is a one-off. And you go, all right, well, sure, it's a little weird, but, you know, this is just a regular guy, and chances are he's doing regular things with it. You don't do that for Jeffrey Epstein.
Mm-hmm,
this is not one of those things where, you know, oh, well, why attribute to malice? No, this everything Jeffrey Epstein did was filled with malice.
Yeah, it might be innocent. Who knows?
Even... Yeah. You know, even if he is innocent, there's still so many other crimes that it doesn't matter. Just throwing this one on top and assume, yeah, he was probably dissolving bodies, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, it has been used in the past by murderers for that. But as forensic experts point out, it is not some kind of a magic eraser. There still might be some evidence of it if it was used to dissolve bodies. But who knows if they're looking at any of this. There's so many more smoking guns. You know, why put so much importance on one thing like this? That might not be true, because then that what that does is discredit legitimate questions. And there's so many legitimate questions in and around the prison, for example, if we're looking at his death and so many other things. Again, the guy who did this was John George Haig, known as the acid bath murderer. He used this to hide at least six of his victims in the 1940s. And of course, there was a, I started talking about this. Karen said, the House on Haunted Hill scared me to death. There was a thing in it. That's an old Vincent Price film, black and white film, probably hearkening back to this real life case. She said there was a like a trap door where they would open that up and drop live people into the acid vat. So, again, that kind of horrific stuff is what you see in and around all of this Epstein thing. I snuck onto Epstein Island. What I saw left me speechless, says one YouTuber. What left him speechless was the fact that there were a lot of people still in and around there, working around there. And he said when they snuck on there and looked around, he said after that he started being tailed ever since by blacked out cars. And so that's what he told his people there. He said, again, when you look at this, the temple, the sundial, all this stuff, nothing to see there, right? So, his alleged death. Their initial efforts were thwarted by security personnel. They were discovered by people riding in golf carts. They reported observing construction crews on the property. People on the island also began to photograph the group. It's unclear who they were. After that, they started getting followed, they said, by suspicious vehicles. Well, one small detail.
This is also another thing I want to warn people of. This is a huge story, and people are going to try to get clout off it any way they can.
That's right.
This guy, maybe he is being followed. Maybe he did see these people. I haven't seen the video. But it's more people are going to make up more things just to clout chase off the Jeffrey Epstein story.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, Luke Radowski got on the island years ago, right after that first happened. And at that point in time, he appeared to see that it was deserted at that point in time. I mean, it is a valuable property. Maybe somebody is going to do something with it. What? I can't imagine. I mean, you know, some kind of a grisly horror tour or something like that. Anyway, this is another thing that a lot of people have jumped on. Small detail in Department of Justice's statement on his death that had the wrong date on it. So many are pointing to a document as proof that his death was known in advance. Well,
also,
I don't know.
Sorry.
I just this morning. Go ahead, Travis.
In this article, it's just talking about the guy that snuck onto the island. It says, during a subsequent endeavor, they successfully reached the shoreline of Little St. James, but were forced to retreat after one member sustained an injury from a sea urchin. These are really committed journalists, guys. This guy got poked by a sea urchin and was like, well, you know, I guess I don't need to get the footage. I'm going home.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm not sure this guy is truly committed to the cause. I think perhaps I might have stuck it out if I'd made it to the island and got a sea urchin prod.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I agree. Well, in this particular case, and this was one that I think, has been, I saw a link on these websites to Alex Jones talking about this. He thinks that this is the smoking gun. They put that it was Friday morning of August the 10th. However, Friday was August the 9th. I could see how somebody could be confused about that. As a matter of fact, it frequently happens to me in the morning. I just had to say that this morning to Travis. I said, wait, Travis, what's the date today? What? That's the 9th. And so I know it's Monday, but I don't know if it's the 9th or the 10th or the 8th or whatever. So I could easily see somebody just doing that normally. I don't see that as a smoking gun. I think the things that happened in the prison were and are unanswered, nevertheless. But I think it's interesting, as I said before, the smoking gun is the dog that did not bark.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself. And change literally a child's life. Change the world. And you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Like the Sherlock Holmes story. Epstein revelations have toppled top figures in U.S. While in the U.S., in Europe, rather, while in the U.S., there's basically no consequences for anybody. Isn't that amazing? You got the former U.K. ambassador to the U.S. could go to prison. He was fired. And it is creating a lot of problems for Keir Starmer, the prime minister who appointed him. The royal family is scared to death of what's going to happen with the man formerly known as Prince Andrew. They threw him out of the royal residences that he was in, woke him up at midnight to evict him. They're doing everything they can to show that they reject his behavior. If it's, whether they really do or not, that's a question that you can answer for yourself. But the bottom line is that they're doing everything they can to treat him harshly, to say, yeah, we don't support any of this stuff. And again, the Peter Mandelson is the guy who was a former UK ambassador to Washington, could go to prison, was fired, and it could have big effects on Keir Starmer. Why is it that in the U.S. it's no big deal? I mean, we got people like Dan Bongino and Kash Patel and Donald Trump and Pam Bondi and all these people covering up for him from the top to the bottom. And we've got the media covering up for him as well. Why are there no consequences for this? Why are there no consequences for COVID? Even more importantly, I think, mass murder done directly by them. Senior officials have fallen in Norway, Sweden, and Slovakia. And so, apart from Andrew, none of them face claims even of sexual wrongdoing. And yet, there are claims of sexual wrongdoing for Trump. So why is that the case? Right? You got people who simply because they had a couple of emails with Epstein, they are having their careers purged. Some of them may go to jail. And yet Trump, who was his best friend for 15 years, running with him, partying with him, and perhaps the guy it was alluded to as well, I always said this even before Mike Johnson said, well, you know, he was an informant on him. How do you be an informant on something that's a hoax? And how do you be an informant unless you witnessed it? Unless you were there. Unless perhaps you were a part of it. And yet no consequences whatsoever for Trump. Toppled for maintaining friendly relationships with Epstein after he became a convicted sex offender. And yet, why was he convicted as a sex offender? Was it because Trump turned him in? And why did Trump turn him in? Was it because he saw something they didn't like or because they had a falling out over a piece of real estate in West Palm Beach, which is what it points to, actually. And so, again, Trump goes on and on and on. Protected by his guardian angel, Lucifer, I guess. It's amazing. So one person in the UK said, well, if you're in those files in the UK, it's immediately a big story. Suggest to me that we have a more functional media. We have a more functional accountability structure. That there is still a degree of shame in politics. That's the key thing. There is no shame in American politics. We have a shameless GOP. How did we get to that point? Because of this rabid partisanship. No matter what happens, you'll see the Republican apologists say, yeah, but the Democrats do it as well. Or the Democrats did it first, or they did it worse, or whatever. No accountability. The lack of accountability has been given to them by the MAGA influencers. If you're getting your news from somebody who calls himself an influencer, can't you see they're just a propagandist? I mean, they're trying to influence you. For whom? Who's paying them to influence you? And so this is why there's no shame anymore. Because everybody excuses what their tribal leaders do. They don't hold anybody accountable for what they actually do. That's the sickness of America right now. So Andrew, Prince Andrew, formerly Prince, the man formerly known as Prince, paid millions in a settlement lawsuit with one of Epstein's victims, facing pressure to testify in the U.S. as well. Even his wife, Sarah Ferguson, had her charity shut down this week. They don't want to touch this guy with a 10-foot pole. And yet, here we have in the United States, we got Steve Bannon, Howard Lutnick, Elon Musk, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, all these people. No consequences. It's not just Trump. It's all these people. That's the bipartisan aspect of this. Larry Summers. On and on and on. Big bankers, big corporations. No consequences for anybody. None whatsoever. Across Europe, officials have had to resign or to face censure after the files revealed relationships that were more extensive than previously disclosed. But again, the QAnon MAGA people love Bannon. They love Trump. Oh, they would like to get Bill and Hillary. But other than that, they don't really have a problem. They like Musk as well. No issues with Musk. A Swedish UN official quit after the revelation of a 2012 visit to Epstein's Island. National security advisor to Slovakia's prime minister quit over his communications with Epstein, which included the pair discussing, quote, gorgeous, unquote, girls. Latvia, Lithuania, Poland have set up wide-ranging official investigations in the documents to see if there is anybody in their government that had any involvement with Epstein. And again, a big part of this, why this is such a big deal, he's not just a sex offender. There was a purpose behind this. There was the intelligence agencies that were there. I mean, look at Ghislaine Maxwell's father, Robert Maxwell. Many people considered him to be a triple agent. He was playing off of British information, Israel, giving stuff to Russians. He was working for everybody. Same thing is coming up with Jeffrey Epstein, which is why these mainstream media reports that came out last week said, oh, look, he was a Russian spy, not an Israeli spy. No, he's spying for Israel. He's spying for Russia, too. And working with the CIA as well. He's working with everybody. He's an equal opportunity pedophile, blackmailer, thief, criminal, you name it. And yet nobody has any consequences. And he was also writing to Peter Thiel about politics, complaining about Brexit and saying that Brexit was a return to tribalism. This was just the beginning, but it's a return to tribalism. Well, tribalism is what is allowing all of these people to get away with this in the United States, especially when you look at Bannon. I mean, he was doing everything he could to rehabilitate Epstein's image, the convicted pedophile. Let's erase all that stuff. Few countries have been embroiled in this as much as Norway has, with only a population of 6 million people. A corruption investigation of the former prime minister. Also, a high-profile Norwegian diplomat couple that was left $10 million in Epstein's will that he put together just before he disappeared, leaving it to the couple's children. And so, again, a lot of questions about that, especially even a small country like Norway. Why are they focusing on Norway? We'll focus on anybody. And, of course, he was a big fixer for the Rothschild banking dynasty, as we saw before. A lot of red flags with all this stuff. And this was Ariane de Rothschild, the head of the group. He was laying out fiduciary advice as if he were her personal oracle, says one article, 21st Century Wire. It was more like old confidants navigating an epic storm together when you look at what they're doing. He was acting as an advisor on very sensitive issues. And also talking about the 1MDB scandal, which is a huge scandal we didn't talk about much in the United States. One of the biggest financial fraud scandals ever. And it was in Malaysia. It's one of the reasons why he didn't talk about it too much. But it involved looting essentially the sovereign wealth fund of Malaysia. These are funds that are set up. Remember, Trump has talked about doing one of those. Funds that are set up that are supposed to benefit the people. Probably the only thing we've had like that in the United States is a sovereign wealth fund that's up in Alaska to distribute proceeds from the Alaskan oil that is up there. So the Epstein files mention Ariane de Rothschild 4,000 times. Their bank is mentioned 1,600 times. Numbers that scream entanglement, not an arm's length acquaintance. Which again, take a look at Trump, right? His first commerce secretary worked for them for years. When they were evaluating Trump's casino bankruptcies, he pulled up and there was a big crowd around Trump. And he called up the Rothschild people he worked for and said, "This is somebody I think we can work with. You know, we can use this guy." How did they use him in subsequent years? One of the things he said was he really doesn't care who's running this thing. He just wants to make sure he's got his name on it. So we can do things like that. But anyway, you know, he's been there for a very long time. And you got Alex Acosta, the guy who was, for some reason, the one who let Epstein off with a sweetheart deal. How does he get the position of labor secretary? You look at Trump's first term cabinet and all the connections directly to Jeffrey Epstein. Truly is amazing, isn't it? Over and over again, you see the same types of things. I'm sure it's just a coincidence, right? Well, we've also learned in the Epstein files that Jeffrey didn't hide his clout. He flaunted it in an email in 2016 to Peter Thiel of Palantir fame and PayPal, the PayPal godfather. He just dropped it casually. He says, "As you probably know, I represent the Rothschilds. No caveats, no qualifiers. Just a bald assertion from a man who had pleaded guilty to sex crimes, positioning himself as an envoy for one of banking's most mythic clans." Yeah, there we go. Their relationship was deeply personal. She actually gave him, in terms of special gifts, Travis, I don't know if you came across this, 2015, she had some custom candles made for him. She said, I've got your favorite mathematical formula written on it. And the email is, the smell is made just for you only. It fits your island. I shudder to think what smell that would be.
I know, is that the smell of terrified children?
I don't know. Smell of fear. And what was this mathematical formula? Was it the same one the scarecrow used? Sum of the square, two sides is equal to, or is it, it's not the square of the hypotenuse. What did he, Sosceles triangle or something like that. He gets it wrong. Hope she got it right when she put it on the candle. I don't know if the Pythagorean theorem was his favorite one, but he did like to triangulate things, didn't he? Anyway, this was extended. His offers of help were extended to people like Prime Minister Ehud Barak of Israel. He pushed Ariane to partner with him on a cyber weapons deal. Ariane said to me, if Ehud wants to make serious money, he will have to build a relationship with me. As they were talking about opportunities in Ukraine after the 2014 coup that was orchestrated by the CIA. So the bank insisted that she knew nothing of his crimes. She condemned them unequivocally. But he had been convicted, and it was pretty well known, back in 2008, 8 years prior to that. And they were still going. Again, you look at her father. He was known as Israel's super spy, Robert Maxwell. Everybody understood he was a Mossad agent, and Mossad honored him after his death. But he's suspected to be a triple agent for MI6 and the KGB, and also connections between the Rothschilds and these other people in terms of the massive Malaysian scandal that was there. So largest fraud scandal in U.S. history. And he's at the epicenter of that. Perhaps we'll say that that's nothing compared to Bitcoin, which he was also at the center of. That could be the most epic scandal of all time once it comes out. But Elon Musk retweeted this. Somebody put this out and said, Epstein used World of Warcraft gold to move money without getting traced. Back in 2007, Bannon was coincidentally running a Chinese company that sold in-game gold for real cash. So again, you know, some of this stuff is emerging from the emails that are there. Elon Musk retweeted that and said, Bannon was laundering money for evil people. Well, that appears to be the case. While we're talking about games, again, this World of Warcraft, that was one of the things that people in the gaming community said, well, it looks like this is something that proof of life, some activity in and around some of his gaming things. And so Fortnite was at the center of it. Claims that Jeffrey Epstein is still alive in gaming. Fortnite pushed back really hard on that.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Again, I don't think that's the best evidence that he's still alive.
So apparently they're claiming somebody changed their username after the most recent batch of email releases when people found out what it was to his old username.
And it wasn't directly his email. It was, the emails that they got was a different email account. But there was a reference to his username. And so some people found that out.
Yeah. And there are sites that track usernames and activity. And, you know, it shows this account is active. But they update in real time all the way back. So if you change your name in 2026, you know, whatever you were doing in 2025 will show up as your newest username. So there's no way of telling, really.
That's right. Yeah. Lance saw this and I think this is really pretty convincing at first. I said, well, you look into it because he's involved in the gaming stuff. Travis is to some degree as well. And so Lance went through and looked at it and he says, I don't think there's anything there. And he sent me this email. He laid it out in 5 points. First thing he said, there's a little ST Jeff and little ST Jeff one were usernames that Epstein used frequently. Number two, there is a Fortnite account with the username little Saint Jeff one. The last place this account logged in was from Israel, or a VPN was used because you can never really tell for sure. Epstein didn't have a Fortnite account connected to the email address that the FBI has, but there are emails referencing him buying the game currency. Again, this kind of stuff, perhaps laundering money through that, or maybe he just liked to play video games. Using V-Bucks, so he probably had an account that was tied to a different email address. He frequently played others' shooters like CSGO and Pedos Love Fortnite. He said, isn't that the one that's like, it's basically a kid's game, right? Don't you get dropped on an island and it's, melee?
Yeah, it's a battle royale. You know, you all fight each other until there's one person left. The thing that's killing me about this is that chances are Jeffrey Epstein wasn't very good because as you get older, your reflexes slow down. So chances are Jeffrey Epstein was getting absolutely destroyed by 12-year-olds. So in this case, the kids won.
But if there's kids on an island, he wants to be there. That's exactly. Whatever happens with it. So anyway, Lance goes on. He says, Fortnite put out a statement saying that the account recently changed its name to Little Saint Jeff 1 from something unrelated after the release of the latest batch of emails. And finally, people push back on Fortnite's statement using fortnite.gg/wrapped. And their summary of 2025, Fortnite's GG Wrapped page seems to show the account's name was still Little Saint Jeff 1 in 2025. But the problem is that the Wrapped section on Fortnite updates. So if you change your name, doesn't prove anything, which is what you just said, Travis. Other people said that the only long stretch of time where there was no login on the account was during the time Epstein was in prison. But the account is private, he said, so I can't really verify that. So again, another one of these things which is not verifiable. I think the sulfuric acid thing is even more suspicious than this. But
there's also the fact it's just if they're going to secret this guy away, they're going to spirit him off. Chances are they're not going to let him log back into his Fortnite account. A lot of these people are stupid and incompetent, but I don't think they're that stupid and that incompetent.
Well, again, it's been like 7 years since they spirited him away. He might not be observed that much, and he was pretty lax with his what he's doing online, as you can see.
Yeah,
from these emails, he didn't have a sense that somebody's actually watching him. And maybe 7 years later, just assuming devil's advocate, if he were still alive, maybe he would think he was in the clear to use an indirect secondary account like that. Who knows?
I just automatically, anytime I see anything that directly confirms my, suspicions and beliefs, I tend to think it's some kind of falsehood manufactured by somebody trying to get clicks. Unless
that's
it's,
right.
100% confirmed. During the 2016 election, there was all these fake quotes of Hillary Clinton going around saying, oh, look, she admitted the globalist plan. Hillary Clinton is never going to be caught on a hot mic saying, we're going to enslave humanity and kill 90% of the population. Those things happen.
But we did get the emails. Actually, WikiLeaks put them out. It's one of the reasons she wanted him killed. We did get the emails of her talking to other leaders about how they need to get rid of Muammar Gaddafi because he's trying to set up a gold-backed standard and Africa, there'd be a threat to their fiat currencies as well as the U.S. So, yeah, occasionally you do get some stuff like that. But again, I think the thing that's right in front of our faces is the dog that did not bark. The Epstein files show us how unchecked power birthed the satanic pedophile cult of the billionaire elite. And this is from Free Thought Project. I mean, they're not Christians, but even they called a satanic pedophile cult. Again, because, they may be using it in a metaphorical sense. I use it in a literal sense. For years, a carefully crafted narrative has been sold to the American public. The idea that a billionaire outsider was going to ride into Washington, D.C. and drain the swamp. By the way, as I pointed out, I think it was used prior to the MAGA people using drain the swamp stuff. That became something of a slogan for them. It was used in that Pentagon video, where they're talking about their mega cities that they're going to create, where they've got all these different ethnic groups fighting each other. And how do we drain that swamp, they said. They see you as the swamp that needs to be drained. So that's really where this is. Anyway, 2026, that narrative just isn't just leaking. It's dissolving in a vat of industrial strength acid. These documents released on January the 30th, aren't just a political gotcha. They're a window into the dark bipartisan reality where the state serves not as a protector of the innocent, but as a shield for a class of predatory elite. That, folks, is my takeaway from all of this stuff. So another document details a former limousine driver account. One of them, I mentioned before, a hearsay evidence of somebody saying they heard a 13-year-old girl say that she was raped by Trump, given to Trump by Epstein. But again, that's hearsay evidence. That's not admissible in court, and it shouldn't be admissible in journalism. Another document details a further limousine driver's account from 1995. The driver overheard Trump on a call discussing, quote, abusing some girl, unquote. Now, that's not hearsay. That's something that he directly heard. But again, he's only hearing one side of the conversation. We don't have any other details about what was said. The driver's female companion heard the story, and she allegedly went stone cold and confessed, "He raped me." Donald Trump had raped her along with Jeffrey Epstein, he said. Tragically, that woman was later found with her head blown off in Oklahoma, which the coroner, always a faithful servant of the status quo, ruled as suicide. Again, ruled it as a suicide. She blows her head off with a shotgun, allegedly, and he has this to say. He laughs all this stuff off.
But I think here's the man right here.
I saw it reported today, and it's completely fake news. We're not meeting to talk about the Epstein situation, and I think the reporter who reported it needs to get better sources.
Look, the whole thing is a hoax. It's put out by the Democrats because we've had the most successful 6 months in the history of our country. And that's just a way of trying to divert attention to something that's total bullshit. Okay?
Yeah, you're the expert of distraction and diversion. Yeah, his 3D chess, folks, is denial, distraction, and diversion. That's the way this guy operates. How disgusting these people are. I couldn't vote for them if they were running against Karl Marx. I just wouldn't show up to vote, which is the situation that I've been doing and will likely do the rest of my life now. I'm not going to vote for either one of these evils. Trump loyalists have the audacity to stick to their debunked narrative and call the release of these files a Democrat hoax, completely ignoring the fact that Trump and his administration, I should say regime, claimed for months that there were no files to release. Think about that. First of all, they use their influencers, the people that they have set up as disinformation agents, people like DC Drano, Mike Cernovich, I think was there, whatever. These guys were used, Libs of TikTok was one of them. They're used as propaganda agents for this side of the tribalism. And they used them a year ago. Then they claimed they didn't have any more documents, that they'd released everything. And then they did everything in the world they could to stop the law passing to require them to release these things, shutting down Congress early, keeping it shut down even when the government shut down. Normally, that did not apply to Congress. But you had Mike Johnson move heaven and earth to keep this bill from passing. And then when it finally did pass, they released this massive amount of stuff very late, but they did release it again after even more threats that we're going to come after you for violating the law. Now he's calling it a hoax. How could you call that a hoax if they're doing this? I think everybody can see what's really happening here. Now, they claimed for months there were no files released, and they did it. So, again, the Trump people, the ones who were hoaxed by Trump himself. Again, his 3D chess stuff. The 3Ds are deny, distract, divert. That's what it's all about. The man who spent decades telling us exactly who he is with his disgusting actions and words. That's the way Free Thought Project sums it up. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
It's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at Compassion.com. That's Compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen.
Ihr Klaus.
Your annual global risk report makes for a stunning and sobering read. For the global business community, the top concern for the next 2 years is not conflict or climate. It is disinformation and misinformation, followed closely by polarization within our societies.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. You are listening to The David Knight Show.
All right, and we're back. And I got a note from Travis about some Lolita type of book that you found. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so there's an email from Ed Epstein, who I assume is his brother or someone. He must be related. Talking about a book called The Enchanter by some Russian novelist or something. And he describes it as the proto-Lolita and talks about how it deals with ephebiophilia. And have you read it, Jeffrey? You know, it's interesting.
Oh,
and ephebiophilia, of course, being the attraction to, you know, not children, but still underage women, you know, teens.
Oh, you mean the ones that Megyn Kelly thinks are fair game, right?
Yeah.
So what's that called?
The book is called...
No, not the book. What is that?
Ephebophilia.
What? Say that again. What's the first part?
Epheb. E-P-H-E-B, I believe.
Ephebophilia. Okay.
And people have for years been making jokes about that. You know, just like, oh, it's not pedophilia. It's ephebophilia. It's a totally different thing. Like, you're still... Yeah. A
well, again, that's Megyn Kelly's argument. I guess she's a big fan of Lolita, I guess. So is Alan Dershowitz and crew with that. But, yeah, it truly is amazing. Eugenio Odes, thank you very much for the tip. That's very kind. Thank you. He says, many thanks for the Knight family keeping me informed. Well, thank you. We couldn't do it without your help. Thank you so much. And by the way, we have some AMAs that I didn't get to on Friday. I thought they were very good. I wanted to mention these. This one is from John Kay. He said, I hope it's not too late, but I got a question for David. Well, we got it too late, but we'll answer the question anyway. And actually, it's a comment, which is very good. He says, I'm a firm belief that the posthumously released video of Alex Preti is AI generated. It doesn't pass the sniff test in the way that you mentioned about the kicked taillight falling off and looking cheap. Also in the videos, one can't make out any facial features of most of the other bystanders. But Preti's is undeniably his. Now, that's interesting. I'd have to go back and take a look at that. I just saw this thing, but that's a good point. If only his face is really visible and only his voice is clear and audible, which I think is also very interesting. Those are good points. He says, if you recall the 2015 social media trend of what color is the dress, I don't recall that. Do you, Travis?
Yeah, there was this dress that depending on how bright your phone screen was, it would appear two different colors. It was either like blue and black or black and gold or something. It was a, you know, optical illusion, basically.
Yeah.
Depending
on
how you were looking at it, what your settings were, it could appear two different colors.
And, of course, that's, as he points out, a primer. Again, we've had this kind of primer with postmodernism. You know, there is no absolute truth, right? So there's no... We can't really tell what color the dress is because, you know, there's no such thing as absolute truth. It's all subjectively determined. Everything is. Even whether a man is wearing a dress or a woman is wearing a dress, that's all subjectively determined as well. He says it's a primer for what we've been witnessing in the public sphere since then. And, you know, they do this kind of thing. I've said for the longest time, I think a prelude, and I think it was really priming people for Facebook. When you stop and think about it, what a crazy thing it is for us to create what the intelligence agencies were talking about doing. They called it LifeLog. Well, they got a lot of pushback from that. You know, Homeland Security did. People said, we don't want you keeping a log of everything that we do in our life. And so they said, all right, we're shutting it down. The very next day, Facebook opened up. And prior to that, you had this situation that, you know, the Big Brother reality TV show that started in the UK, by the way. And then it came to the U.S., but that was there, I think, to, you know, trigger the imagination to normalize surveillance for people. And people thinking, well, you know, I could be a celebrity if, you know, there's nothing that's unusual about these people out here who are being watched by everybody. That's their key to celebrity status. They don't have any special knowledge or skills or to do anything. They haven't accomplished anything. But they let everybody watch what they do. Well, I can do that on, you know, even if that's not what they're thinking, I think it subconsciously prepared people for that. I think that was a deliberate thing. He said, conservatives see the righteous elimination of a threat. Liberals see a public execution in Alex Preti. We are being trained to view the exact same scene and see it two different ways. My question is, how can we exist amongst these supreme levels of disinformation and manipulation? The extremes are running us off a cliff at unprecedented speeds. Well, I think, John, your letter is a good example of the kind of skepticism and critical thought that we need to have and question everything that you see in this day and age. And I mean everything that you see. But there are other things that we can see that can't be faked, even if they can fake the details of a shooting. Even if we can have massive number of influencers and bots who are telling us, no, what you see there is not really what you see there, right, in that shooting. You know, we can have the picture where they're taking the gun out from his belt buckle in the back and removing it. And then the guy standing right there pulls out his gun and then starts shooting him in the back after he sees the gun being removed. And then you've got conservatives who say, well, this is a righteous kill. So don't let them determine what you see in something. Look at it and make up your own mind. They're going to tell you not to believe your lying eyes, but you should. And you should think about what they're telling you and what their motivations are for that. But above that, there are many other things. Why are they wearing masks? Why are they so violent when they're being filmed? You know, they have to stop their investigation. You're interfering with an investigation because if you're filming these masked thugs, they got to stop whatever they're doing and come and attack you, drive their car into you. They've got to break out your windows. They've got to pull you out of the car. They've got to get you on the ground and beat you, perhaps kill you. So you're interfering with their investigation. You're causing them to have to do some extra work to take you down. Isn't that enough for us to see what is happening? What we're being pushed into? It doesn't hang on some one individual detail. The bigger picture is the key. And we have to be able to see the forest, even if somebody is misdirecting us to a synthetic tree somewhere. So again, I agree with what you're saying, John. I like that a lot. Another person, FC, writes, it'd be awesome if you could get to interview Daniel Suarez. I'm a big fan of his books, thanks to your constant reference of them. I think it would make for an interesting interview. I would like to interview him. I get to interview a lot of authors. I might get a chance if he's got a new book that's coming out. We get him on as part of that to push the book. I think there's some of the most interesting interviews, the ones that I have with authors that are out there. And you get an opportunity to talk to them when they've got a book that they want to sell. So that doesn't have a name. Have you tried to get David Icke on your program, do an interview with him? I haven't. He and I, as he points out, he's been battling Alex Jones over things, and David Icke is very, very disappointed with Alex Jones. Again, they got to know each other pretty well when Bilderberg was in the UK that year. It's the sort of thing where, although I agree with him on politics and these other issues, the spiritual stuff that he's selling people really disturbs me. So that's one of the reasons I haven't reached out to interview him. It would be interesting to talk to him, but I'm not interested in pushing his view of the supernatural. Meanwhile, over the weekend, we had Trump's Obama derangement syndrome. This is what the New York Times called it, Maureen Dowd. And this was the monkey video that was put out. And this, I think, is important from the standpoint of the two perspectives that you see on this. I saw people battling this all weekend. The entire weekend, you had Matt Drudge had the picture up, only got driven out by the Super Bowl. But he and the left were really...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
download the Moto Casino app today.
Triggered by this. And my first reaction when I saw it was, of course, it's something that, that Trump would do because he wants to get people fighting over the stuff. And he had, before we look at the apologists' explanations for what he was doing, Trump had plenty of opportunity, if it wasn't deliberate, to stir things up. They had plenty of opportunity to say, well, I didn't know it. It was an accident. I apologize if anybody was offended by it. Which, of course, he refused to do, even when specifically asked about that. So what we see from the apologists is, first of all, it was at the end of a video that was, I think, 53 seconds long about something about the election and, you know, electronics or something. I just saw the very beginning of it, but I didn't watch it. I'm quite frankly, I'm pretty tired of all this election manipulation stuff. I was talking about it years before it ever happened. And I said, when Trump locked us down and said, we're going to do a vote by mail thing, I said, well, that's it. That's opening the door to a new level of corruption we'd never seen before. Back in 2016, I said the 2020 election is going to be a hacking contest over these voting machines, electronic voting machines. There's so many different ways that you can interfere with that you can hack into it. It had been demonstrated at the Black Hat conference that they have and DEF CON and, you know, those things on an annual basis and in Vegas. They even had one that was called Voter Village, where they had young teens come in and compete to see who could. They set up a replica that was typical of most state board of election websites. And so this replica website that they had up, typically they're not very complicated, was set up, and they had a hacking contest to see if the teens could get into it. Well, all but one or two of them were able to get into it in a short amount of time. And, of course, the fastest one won. It was a young girl who was able to do it. And so it's not a question as to whether or not the election system is vulnerable at a number of different points, not just at the voting machines, but a number of different points. And I had talked about the history of Smartmatic and how it was tied to Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, how it was friends of his who created Smartmatic and used it to rig elections in Venezuela, how there were questions about it in the Philippines, in Mexico, in Brazil, national issues about rigged elections of voting machines. But I said, and so I said in 2016, I said, that's what's going to happen in 2020. But it was far worse than that. Who would have thought that Trump would successfully lock down America? Who would have thought that they would have a completely vote-by-mail election? That was the worst aspect of it. And now you've got people, you know, Trump included and Elon Musk, you got to stop vote-by-mail or we'll never have another honest election. Well, you knew that. You were told that by many people. I wasn't the only one saying it, by far. I mean, even Bill Barr said it. You had people on both the left and right say this is going to be a crooked election. They knew it when they did it. They did it deliberately. And I believe that they wanted to turn this over to Joe Biden. I believe they wanted to have a fight over the election. And so I'm not interested in the details of that. Now, people like Tim Pool are. You know, remember Tim Pool, he constantly wants to harp on the election because that's what Trump and the MAGA crowd want to do. But when somebody brought up the vaccines, he goes, oh, that was 4 years ago, you know, in the election cycle. Well, it was it's 4 years ago, and you want to only talk about the election. So, again, this is the kind of thing that we're seeing. And so it was at the end of this 53-second-long video. There was like a 1 or 2 second clip that was taken from a previous video. Why did they put that in there at the very end? And it was Brock and Michelle as monkeys, right, with their heads awkwardly stuck onto a monkey body. And people said, well, Trump probably didn't even see that. And he didn't mean anything by it anyway. And it doesn't matter, because if you look, that came from a video called The Lion King. And it was a Trump-based meme type of little video that had all these political figures as jungle animals. And they point out, well, there were some white people who were represented as being monkeys. They had put their heads on monkey bodies and stuff like that. The whole point being is that they put the head of Trump on a lion, and he was a Lion King. I just said, they just misspelled it. It's L-Y-I-N. But But they said, well, it's just taken from that. And he didn't do that. And he probably didn't know it was there because there's 2 seconds of the end. Why would they put that on there? 2 seconds at the end. I don't know. Why? What did Michelle and Barack Obama have to do with the rigged election? I don't think that was the case. So anyway, the apology was never coming, forthcoming. He was asked about it. He said, well, I didn't do it. I don't know who did it.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Well, that's not what he said in the past. In the past, he has boasted about it. See that guy over there? He's the only guy that has access to my my account. Him and me, you know, we're the only two that have any access to it. He's a pretty important guy, whatever. And the bottom line is that, you know, Trump has boasted about the fact that these are actually his tweets that are out there. And I would say from the low intellectual level of these tweets and the butthurt narcissism that is there, I would say that I probably would agree with that. But if it's something that somebody else put up there, Trump is still responsible for it. You know, that's the bottom line. He's responsible for all the things that Fauci did and all the rest of these people during the lockdown because he's the guy at the top. The buck stops there. That's one thing that Truman got right. You are responsible for what your subordinates do. And so the bottom line is, as I said, he could try to be a unifier, but he's not. He's anything, but that's why in that Melania film, she says, you are a unifier. What a laughable line. Who put that in there? He's anything but a unifier. It's deny, distract, divert, 3D chess. That's what he's all about. So again, no apology from him. He just wants to inflame both sides and have them fighting over Barack and Michelle as monkeys, rather than have people talking about Epstein, anything to get rid of Epstein. Folks, this kind of stuff is where the hoax is, it really is. And so they can make explanations for it. And look, he knows that he can get away with it with his group of people, because if you are accused of being, the left has accused everybody of being racist. And now the right is taking that as well. Because if you disagree with the politics of Netanyahu and a foreign government, Israel, now you are racist, right? So both the left and the right use this as crying wolf. There are real racists out there, and you've just given them a free pass because you call everybody that you disagree with a racist.
Yeah, so one commercial I did see from the Super Bowl was, you know, this kid being bullied in high school. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he goes to open his locker and he pulls out his backpack, and on it is a sticky note that says, "You dirty Jew," or something like that. Hmm. And it's just...
What was that a commercial for?
You know, stopping anti-Semitism, because it's a real big problem in the United States these days. And by that, you know, there are certain groups of people, certain streamers, like Hassan Piker, who are legitimately, they probably hate Jews, and mm-hmm. just because they're Jewish. But most of the people simply have a problem with the Jewish government and the state of Israel flattening Palestine.
Yeah. Well, that can be, you know, criticism or support of the Israeli government can be a monetary advantage for you, right? You can play it that way either way. Because there's, again, tribes out there who want to jump in on one side or the other of that issue. But by and large, the allegation of racism has been thrown about so broadly that it has really lost its you know, shame. But we pretty much have a shameless government as it is. I mean, they're going to cover for Jeffrey Epstein. They're shameless. So it's also interesting to see how media reacted to it. Fox News completely ignored it. Joe Scarborough on Morning Joe completely lost it. And so you have these types of extremes that are there. CNN CEO Mark Thompson accurately described Fox News as a partisan affinity network. Fox is enjoying record ratings and historic revenue by serving a largely pro-Trump audience. And that's exactly the way these guys make money. You know, I saw it with Alex Jones. He realized that. He went in 100% on Donald Trump. And he had always been scrupulously nonpartisan prior to that. But he never made the kind of money that he did after he became a Trump supporter. This episode doesn't require hysteria, doesn't require wall-to-wall programming. It requires clarity. A president shared content that they describe as racist, violates basic expectations of public office. I think that's the key thing. Do we want to have a president who is a unifier? Do we want to have somebody who doesn't deliberately try to enrage and divide people? That's the key issue here. And that's his superpower. That's what he focuses on all the time. So, again, people have gone to extremes on both sides of this, extremes to defend it, and extremes to be outraged by it. And in terms of people who have gone to extremes to defend it, mediaite, first person they come up with is Tim Pool, interestingly. He says, it is the stupidest thing imaginable that whenever you have anything related to monkeys, Democrats are like black people. He says, grow up and stop whining. Well, that's what he said about the Trump bioweapon. Grow up and stop whining. Tim, you need to grow up, pal. You need to understand that people see through your act. And I don't know where he gets his money from, but a lot of these influencers are paid by people who are trying to propagandize you. It's not just an organic thing.
I believe Tim Pool was one of the ones that receiving or was yeah. receiving the largest amount of Russian money at the time when that story
yeah, he's,
came out.
I can't remember the details of it, but that's why I didn't mention it, because I know he's getting a lot of money to influence you. The question is, who is paying him? That's what you need to ask yourself about Tim Pool. So again, Mike Cernovich says, Trump is the most colorblind POTUS of my lifetime. Was this guy born yesterday?
That photo they released when the Epstein, you know, oh, we were given the Epstein files. If you find the one where Cernovich's face is visible, his eyes are just like dead and hollow, and he's looking off to the side. Basically, he's just like, oh, no.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you make yourself a servant of these people, and he has none. K.D. Pavlich told Chris Cuomo, the depiction at the end of a scroll video suggesting it was neither intentional nor vindictive. So then why can't Trump say that himself? Why can't he say it was not intentional and it was not vindictive? Instead, he wants to leave that there, which I think is very telling because we see him do this again and again and again. And like I said, it was on Drudge all weekend, you know, and all these different left-wing places that were freaking out about it. And then, of course, you got Breitbart and the rest of the right-wing press that's out there, you know, writing op-ed piece after op-ed piece on why it's not an issue for him. But the issue is that he couldn't try to dispel it. He leaves it there to fester, to divide. If true, it means Trump's official account is sharing racially charged political content without his knowledge or review. It directly conflicts with his long-running attacks on Joe Biden, which hinge on the claim that it was Biden's aides and Biden's handlers who were running the show. that Biden didn't know what was going on. So now that is his attack on Biden, and it's now his defense when anything happens. You see how that works? And he gets away with that. I guess what bothers me are the things that we know that he did, that he intentionally put out. That meme of the napalm attack on Chicago that he put up, right? That is, I think, one of the most outrageous things that I've seen anybody put up, the Apocalypse Now thing. And that's why one of the things that we're going to talk about here is AI and how it's being really going to be weaponized, even in a physical sense. And I put that in there when he's saying, yeah, we could train our military in the cities, right? And one thing that he didn't put in there was he wasn't holding the Constitution in one hand and lighting it with the other. I put that in. That's what I think he's doing. And, of course, he also does the meme that he is so proud of, where he wears a crown and he dumps excrement on people who are his political opponents. That's what Trump does all the time. He's always dumping excrement on people. So, again, the video was taken down, but Trump never apologized. Yeah, that's his 3D chess. Divide, distract, and deflect. And if anybody has got a derangement syndrome, it is Trump. He really hates Obama, and I think there's a lot of jealousy there about the Nobel Peace Prize. And he's not going to ever recover from that, I don't think. I can't imagine him ever, as after he's gone on offense and after he started one war after another, I can't ever imagine him being able to pull that back. Well, we're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back.
Using free speech to free minds.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It's the David Knight Show.
All right, welcome back. And you sent me a note about a video you saw of Tim Pool. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so there's this clip of Tim Pool. It floats around. You may have seen it. But he's discussing how, oh, we're losing money. I'm going to have to shut down the show. You know, he's going over his banking woes. Mm-hmm. And then his friend, who's this stoner skater, and he's only there because he's friends with Tim Pool, wanders onto the set, basically, just like, you know what we should do, Tim? We should fund a game jam. We should put money up so people can develop video games. That's what we should do. And you can tell Tim is just sitting there like, oh, why? And this guy is just clueless. He's got no idea what's going on. You can tell he doesn't do anything for the business. And he's just there to smoke pot and be Tim's buddy.
Wow. I've never seen Tim Pool's show. I've seen clips.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, where he and Laura Loomer are just saying, oh, just get off over that that genetic coding injection that killed millions of people. Oh, forget about it. Shut up, you know. And it's like, are you kidding me? You know, you'll do anything to praise Trump. It's
yeah, amazing. I've only seen a few clips here and there, mostly of people making fun of Tim. Thing is, you have to imagine Tim is independently wealthy at this point. He can close up shop and go skate for the rest of his life. The most recent clip I saw was him lamenting how he hasn't had time to skateboard in, you know, 2 months or something like that. It's like, oh,
yeah, I haven't had time to skateboard either.
Yeah, oh, poor Tim. Oh, you haven't had time to skateboard? You just, come on, man.
At my age and physical condition, I would genuinely be taking my life in my hands. It'd be more dangerous than playing with sheets in Epstein's cell if I were to go skateboarding. I mean, anyway, let's talk a little bit about the NFL because, you know, that's one of my favorite topics, the NFL. Just kidding. You know that. But what was done, I think, was deliberate. In terms of getting the, I didn't know who, all this stuff about Bad Bunny and all this kind of stuff. So I looked this guy up. He's a Puerto Rican, I think he's a rapper, isn't he? Is that his, or does he actually do music?
I don't really know.
I don't consider rap to be music. And you know, I have it from good authority, and that is, Quincy Jones. It took me a while to remember his name, Quincy Jones, a guy who was an expert in every genre of music and was black. And he said, rap is not music, man. Rap is talk. That's why they call it rap. It's not music at all. This is a guy who has mastered pretty much all these different soundtracks that he's done and other things like that. And he has been the record producer for a lot of people. He's done basically every style of music, but he doesn't think that rap is music. And I agree with him on that. Anyway, so he's a rapper. And he's a Spanish rapper. So they decided they would rap the Super Bowl in Spanish.
Yeah. And, fun fact that my wife learned yesterday was that there was a Super Bowl halftime show in 1992 that was done all in Spanish by some group from Miami. And it wasn't that big a deal. People didn't care, which goes to prove that after 3 decades of this relentless anti-racist nonsense, it has had the exact opposite effect.
Yeah,
people are tired and sick of it.
Well, I think it was deliberate. You know, when you look at what the NFL is doing, I think they wanted to have this fight. You know, what they do is they want this cultural fight about language and identity and all the rest of stuff. And we see this happening over and over again. The NFL, Coca-Cola, NASCAR, you name it, we could keep going. All these different Cracker Barrel, all these people who absolutely hate our culture, and they want to change it. And this is what happens when we allow corporations to define our culture. We should never hand that over to them. Anyway, if you wanted an English halftime show, you'd have to press 2 for English. And you could get over to some alternatives that are there. Of course, TPUSA was quick to jump into this and to offer a country version of a halftime show. And this reminds me, Travis, of, remember there was that church we went to for a short period of time, and they were all about a Super Bowl party. I thought, that's really kind of strange. And this was in the early 2000s. And I didn't realize that that had become a thing with a lot of the country. And I thought that was kind of unusual. But I thought, all right, you know, we'll go along. It's like parents and kids and everything to this thing. I thought, you know, what could be the harm of this? Give the kids a chance to hang out and socialize. And it was, they weren't so much about the football game as they were about the halftime show. And the reason for that was because this church had somebody who went to the church. These guys had put together, you remember when they used to do the Dorito commercials? You win like $1 million or something like that, some fabulous amount that was there. I don't know if that was the total amount that all the contestants got or if one person got that or whatever, but it was a lot of money. And so there's some guys that went to this church, and they had competed and won in a previous time. And so now they were all watching the, you know, everybody pretty much ignore the game. But then whenever a commercial came on, everybody zoomed into it, and also the halftime show. And then it turned out that was the Janet Jackson halftime show.
Whoops.
So it's like maybe this is not appropriate for the youth group to be doing, you know. And so we realized there's a lot of inappropriate things. Anyway.
This is a bit off topic, but I blame the Super Bowl commercial contest for mm-hmm. the state of modern advertising. Every single commercial is trying to be quirky. And funny. Anytime yeah. we travel and we're on the road and we stop at a hotel and I turn on the TV, it's this barrage of hee hee, look at our funny ads. Like, just tell me what your product is and tell me if it's good. I don't yeah. want a hee hee, aha, I'm a comedian. Shut up and tell me what your product does.
Well, I wouldn't know that because, again, I didn't even, we were surprised because we were on vacation on the road like Travis was. I just don't travel much anymore. And that was when we saw the Ask Your Doctor commercials that the pharmaceutical companies had put in. And I thought that was really strange. But, yeah, it does get stranger and stranger, curiouser and curiouser. But, of course, Drudge really leaned into all this. His headline was, instead of Super Sunday, Super Domingo. I had to look that one up so I don't speak the lingo. But anyway. You know, in case you missed it, you could have gotten a hamburger for $180. This is the kind of excess that we are seeing there. I guess the people were there when they saw the price, they go, ay, ay, ay. Anyway, the people who got really stuck with, taxes, you know, this is an article about halftime split, how at halftime, some people were splitting off and watching alternative shows instead of the Bad Bunny thing. And by the way, it's not just that he is a Spanish rapper, but it's also that he is very much against any immigration law, not just the way that's being enforced. And he is also somebody who is at the very least, a cross-dresser, if not a tranny. So there are all of those things were part of Bad Bunny. But when you look at the halftime split, there was another split that not too many people are talking about, and that is the fact that since the game is being played in California, and since they get a massive bonus, the winners get $178,000. The losers get $103,000. Well, California says, if you're getting that kind of money, we want a cut of it as well. And California has the highest taxes in terms of state income taxes, 14.5%. And you add that to the 37% marginal rate for people making that kind of money. And these players get a whopping 51% tax bill. So yeah, there's your halftime split. How about that? And the thing I think is interesting about that is that while these, we've talked about the fact that the football, the NFL is a situation where you got billionaire team owners and you've got millionaires who are playing a kids game. And of course the billionaire team owners are getting massive subsidies for their stadiums. Think about that. I did that report about a dozen years ago, and the numbers that I was talking about at the time are tiny compared to the kind of subsidies that these billionaire team owners are getting right now. And yet their millionaire players are getting hit with a 51% tax bill. I doubt the billionaires are really getting much of a tax bill. They're getting massive subsidies. State, local, and probably federal as well.
Well, they're better at playing a different kind of game.
That's right. They're playing it at a higher level. Yeah, yeah, we're also, not in their league, are we?
No.
Yeah.
There's also more and more evidence that basically every single game is rigged at this point. With the rollout of sports betting, these people stand to lose a lot of money. When you've got millions upon millions of people betting on these things, or at least hundreds of thousands, chances are someone is going to place a winning bet on something.
That's right.
And they don't like paying out. There have been multiple cases where somebody had placed a very specific bet and stood to win a major amount of money if this thing happened, which looked like it was about to. And for some reason, the player does a very strange thing, something they wouldn't normally do in this circumstance, and the bet doesn't go off.
Yeah.
So, people are becoming more and more aware of the fact that the NFL and all these institutions are rigged.
Well, one of the reasons why they would stop sports betting was because of the pressure to throw it, right? So it becomes not so much a football competition as it becomes professional wrestling or something, right? Who pays the most to get their script enacted. And that was one of the biggest scandals in sport history. Actually, I made a movie about it. I know more about the movie than I do about the actual event because I don't follow sports, but it was I think it was Chicago baseball team and Shoeless Joe or something that, famous line, say it ain't so, Joe, as he's going through. But it was, the film was Eight Men Out. And, the fact that they had rigged this big game, and maybe it's a World Series, I don't know, but rigged that game because of gambling. And so that's one of the reasons why they always had a prohibition against that. But that has also gone by the wayside.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Online gambling has exploded. It is everywhere, and it's becoming more and more of a problem for the younger generation as well. They don't have as much impulse control, and they've been being spoon-fed it for, years at this point. And gambling addiction is more destructive than just about anything else. It has a higher suicide rate than even alcoholism.
Is that right?
Yeah. Gambling addiction, I think, may have the highest suicide rate of any addiction. I'm not sure on that, but I know it is ludicrously high.
Yeah.
And it just destroys lives.
Yeah, yeah. The comedian Norm, what's his last name?
Norm MacDonald.
Norm MacDonald. He struggled with gambling quite a bit. Talked about that.
Was it Artie Lang, I believe, talked about how they would just, they'd go out and they'd put $10,000 bets down. And, if you win, you're ecstatic and it's amazing. But most of the time you lose and you're just depressed and then you, drink your problems away the rest of the night. And, it's not even really about the win. It's about the rush you get waiting to find out. That's what they talk about. It's just like the anticipation sitting there waiting like, oh, am I going to win big? It's,
that's, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not ever having done. I always wondered what the fascination was. I've told the story many times about how when we went to Disneyland in 1961, I was 6 years old and, You can't go in the casinos, of course, if you're underage. My dad took me to the edge of the door and said, you know, look at the people in there. In those days, you would dress nice. If you didn't dress nice, it's because you were very, very poor. Now, you know, it costs a lot of money to dress trashy, I guess. But anyway, in those days, you could kind of tell somebody's position in life by the way they dressed. And my dad said, look at this place and look at the way those people are dressed. And truly was a shame. But did the same thing with you guys when we went later on. We were on our way to California. We stopped in Vegas for that.
But. Yeah. I took a trip to the Windstar Casino in Oklahoma for for a friend's birthday. And, you know, it was just mostly old retirees, some of them with oxygen tanks, sitting at the slot machines.
Wow.
Just pulling the lever over and over and over.
You think if you're in that kind of shape, every day is kind of like a gamble. You know, yeah, what are the odds?
Aren't you risking enough? But it's just, it was the most depressing thing I've ever seen. Because at least in Vegas, you've got the glitz and the glamour, and these are well maintained and they're beautiful buildings. Windstar is dark and dingy and gross.
Wow.
And it is, it's the worst place I've ever been. Wow. In my opinion.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, it's like sometimes people need to see the reality of the thing. And I always think about in terms of alcoholism, the movie, black and white movie, Days of Wine and Roses, which is something when I saw that as a kid, that was like, whoa, you know, how awful that was, you know, the getting drawn into that. But anyway, yeah, that's where it is. But we are subsidizing stadiums for billionaires. And again, this is Reason talking about it. They actually had somebody do a report. I did that report about 12 years ago, I think it was. But the dollar figures that are there now are astronomical. And then let's talk a little bit about this headline. I fell out of my chair when I saw this. I thought, is that for real or is that Babylon Bee? This headline comes from the New York Post. New York City is colder than Antarctica right now. Okay, should somebody tell the reporters of the New York Post that it's summer in Antarctica? You know, New York City is colder than Australia right now. Okay. Colder than Chile, where it's supposed to be chilly, right? Yeah, there's this thing, it's called seasons, and they want to lecture us about climate change when these people don't even know what a season is. Again, climate ignorance. And everybody was picking up the story. I saw it on one news aggregation site after the other. New York City is colder than Antarctica right now. Wow. But the climate scam is really rolling itself out. Just the news has this. Vermont's electric-powered buses prove unreliable for transportation this winter. Who knew? We've been talking about this for the longest time.
What a shame.
Yeah. Can't drive their electric buses. They can't charge them. Taxpayers are sold an $8 million solution that can't operate in cold weather when the home for these buses is in New England. And then the people say, well, don't get mad at us. I mean, we did that because if we'd applied for diesel buses, the federal government wouldn't have given us any money. And so we had to apply for electric buses so we could have buses at all. And if we do that, if we want to get electric buses, then the coffers are thrown open in Washington, D.C. for that because nobody has to pay this back. That's how we got $40 trillion debt and because the government has all the money in the world. So, again, one person pushing back against it, a spokesperson for Energy Workers Advocacy Group, Power the Future, and I'm assuming that they are trying to get funding for coal or some other disfavored but very efficient form of energy generation. They said, we're beyond the point where this looks like incompetence, and it's starting to smell like fraud. It's got the smell of Epstein Island to it, I guess, right? The smell of fraud, whatever that smells like, and many other things there, I guess. General manager at Green Mountain Transit is the one who said, don't blame us. It's we could get federal money for this, but we couldn't get any money for diesel buses. And grant requests for diesel buses are not awarded. So to be competitive, you got to go for electric buses. Well, they said they're 90% paid for by federal funds that they got from Volkswagen when they shook them down and blackmailed them. Remember that? What a shameful episode that was. Eric Peters and I talked about that a lot when that happened. But supposedly a cheating scam, you know, in terms of their emissions that were there. Nobody was hurt. You know, the federal government looks the other way when you got people being killed by these Takata airbags. You never had this kind of punishment that was done for the deliberate cutting corners for the Ford Pinto when it blew up from behind. And yet for this thing where nobody was hurt, nobody was hurt. Oh, well, you cheated on your emission scandals. They just wanted to shut down diesel engines, as evidenced by the fact that they won't give you a grant if you want a diesel bus. And so they said this is the primary source of new buses for the next 3 years, as we only have three diesel buses anticipated. So, again, the question is, why can't the government, when it comes to transportation, stay in their own lane? Because they want to control everything and micromanage everything that we do. So they said they were doing fine until there was a update in the software. They said November of last year, they had some batteries that were recalled for fire hazards. And, of course, we've seen this in many different jurisdictions. We've had videos in past years of French electric buses spontaneously combusting as they are stopped at a bus stop. We had situations like that in Germany where you had two massive bus stations. I think one of them was in Munich. Was the other one in Stuttgart? I can't remember. But one bus spontaneously combusted, and it set all the other buses on fire with batteries. And this is, folks, a lesson for these battery energy storage site things that they want to put out everywhere so they can charge us extra to go to solar and wind power. They want to have these massive battery energy storage sites, which are an unbelievable fire hazard. So they said, we have to keep these things apart. And what they did with the update, they said, well, we're not going to allow you to charge them 100%. You have to charge them very slowly and only go up to 75%. And we don't want you charging them when it's cold. These are things that can cause these fragile lithium batteries to explode.
Well, luckily, Vermont is known for being warm and tropical all year round.
So they said, so this update basically made these things unusable. We have to just warehouse them for the winter because we're not allowed to charge them, essentially. And so speaking of range, I wonder what the range is if they can only get them 75% charge, even maybe during the summer of New England. But now Ford and Stellantis, you know, Chrysler is now owned by a foreign company, they have come up with an extended range electric vehicle, EREVs, they call them, I guess. I don't know if that's the way. It's EREV. I guess you'd pronounce that EREV. Ford has taken a beating on the F-150 Lightning, the electric version of the most popular vehicle, the F-150 pickup truck. Their electric version, the Lightning, they're losing $20,000 each off of those things. So you can't keep doing that for very long. And why would you make anything like that and sell it at all? Well, it's to please the government. Because, you see, government drives it, not consumers anymore. This is not about your choice. It's not what consumers want. It's about what the government demands. And so that's why they were doing that. Now their solution, excuse me, their solution is I think, and Eric Peters is the one who pointed this out, their solution, I think, is the best possible use of an electric vehicle right now. In a sense, it's kind of like a hybrid, except that you don't have the engine connected to the drivetrain. The only thing connected to the drivetrain is actually it's not a drivetrain. It's motors on the wheels, and they are all run electrically. And there is a motor, but it's used as a generator to provide electricity. It can charge the batteries or it can drive the wheels as well. And so you can wind up getting 700 miles of range. And it solves a couple of problems. Of course, one of the biggest problems with these EVs, especially the trucks, is range. It just goes to nothing once you load up the back or you start towing. It gets even worse. And it takes a very, very long time to charge these things one way or the other. And so you can get beyond that by having something that you can quickly fill up with fuel. And then that can be used to charge your batteries as you're going along your way. And it can also recharge them if they're under a very heavy load. So they can get up to 700 miles on this. And this is something that is really exploding in China. Because in China, they don't have to worry about emissions. The European countries are very upset about this. They don't like this. And as a matter of fact, GM used to have one of these. They called it the Volt. They have a Bolt, which has nobody wants to buy. They had the Volt, which people was a practical thing. That's what Eric Peters was talking about. He said this is actually a practical use of electric vehicle if you use the motor as a generator. But they are not allowed in a lot of different places, these ultra-low emission zones. They want zero emissions. And so these climate absolutists want absolute zero emissions, and they won't they're the ones, again, it's government who is shutting down different alternatives that people might like to try. So you're not allowed to experiment. You're not allowed to try to do that thing. But out of economic necessity, they're trying to cut the baby in half here and offer something that is going to be somewhat practical. And I think it is something of a practical solution, except for this. They're going to start just below $60,000, the Chrysler version for the Ram. And when you look at what has happened to the price of cars, for example, is that something to brag about? If you go back to 1974 and look at the typical price of the car and adjust it for inflation, this is about twice what that would be. I mean, this is not, you know, cars are not costing $60,000 because we've had inflation. Costing $60,000 because of government regulation plus government inflation. That's why the lifestyle that we'd like to have is no longer available. It's been banned by the government. And European advocacy groups are really upset about this. They don't want you burning anything. So even something that could be practical. And that's what caused GM to take the Volt off the market, was this kind of pushback from radical extremism. And their other alternatives are being taken off as well. And GM says, we continue to believe in EVs. Yeah, it's like the cowardly lion, right? I do believe in spooks. I do believe they're cowardly and lying is what they're doing. They've had to, Dodge was about to go out of business, so they brought back the Charger with an actual engine in it rather than having the electric Charger. That's a not a pun. It's just a market failure. GM intends to invest more in EVs. Among the so-called investments are plans for new battery technologies. And this person who's writing about this says, well, it still doesn't get to the issue of charging time. And that's the key issue. And that's one of the things that these kinds of the extended range electric vehicles, the fact that you can fill them up with fuel and then charge your batteries along the way, that's the thing that helps to make that work. And so how did we get to this point?
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself. And change literally a child's life. Change the world. And you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Well, climate science is not science. The Manhattan Contrarian writes, would you trust the National Academy of Sciences to tell you how science works? He said, my last two posts have been about the new federal reference manual and scientific evidence. See, this is a problem. We have the federal government has taken over the not just the military-industrial complex, but also the academic complex is what Eisenhower was talking about. And they've taken over all research. They've taken over science, and they have ruined it. They've turned it into a religion of scientism. And here's a good example of this. He says, this is a fourth edition. They do them about every 6 to 10 years or so. He said the previous one was 2011, so that's, what, 15 years they've gone. And prior to that, they had one in 2000. So there's 11 years difference between that. And then one that was in 1994. So they did it an update after 6 years, an update after 11 years, and an update after 15 years. And so he said the newly added chapter in this newest edition is titled Reference Guide on Climate Science. And it also has an expanded chapter on, quote, how science works. And by the way, it's not written by Francis Bacon, who gave us the scientific method. Scientific method is about measuring data and reproducing results that somebody else has said. It's the exact opposite of academia, which is the kind of science, quote unquote, that they're trying to sell us now, which is scientism. So the first edition didn't have it at all. Second edition had 16 pages of how science works. Then the third edition had 18 pages. Now they've expanded it to 61 pages. Very heavy on religious dogma, by the way. You know, if you want to work in science, this is your book, your religious Bible. And one he points thing, out the lead I – yeah.
Oh, just wanted to say one thing is people who are generally – a way of establishing how qualified someone is how easily they can explain something to someone. Someone who's very, very good at something – should be able to explain it in a quick and concise fashion, but instead they're continually bloating this thing, which shows that they're not trying to explain something to you. They're trying to instill a worldview in you. They're trying to create a reality through which, you know, their own lens through which you will view the world.
I agree. And he points out that the guy who wrote this, how does science work? Is a guy who is the professor of philosophy at the University of Pennsylvania. And it has become a philosophy. It's become a religion. He says he doesn't have a problem with that. I do, because I know that it is a psyop, is what science has become now. It is the magic wand that they wave over everything for authority purposes. And but his problem with this guy is the fact that he's at the University of Pennsylvania. Why that? Well, he points out that's where Michael Mann is. And he calls him the worst charlatan, the single biggest charlatan pseudoscientist in the entire country, Michael Hockey Stick Mann. And they gave him a top university professorship. Has this guy, who is the author of this, the lead author, the professor of philosophy at the University of Pennsylvania, he says, has he ever spoken out against Mann? Did he ever criticize him in any way? Not that I can find. So for starters, we got a guy who's willing to look past and excuse the worst of the worst in the way of politicized pseudoscience. Again, this is a group that I was involved in, tried to get his data that public policy was being based on. He worked at a public university. He did his research at on public time. And he was part of this ClimateGate thing, but he scrupulously fought to keep his research and his data secret. Now, if you're doing real science, you don't want to keep the data secret. But if you're doing something like the climate MacGuffin, or the pharmaceutical COVID MacGuffin, then you don't want people to see your data. You hide what you know about your drugs and your vaccines and your temperature measurements and your research. And so that he's absolutely right about that. Meanwhile, we've seen the Trump administration. That has been one of the bright spots, really, in the first Trump administration and the beginning of the second Trump administration. And that was they were at least paying lip service to cutting back the radical climate MacGuffin environmental extremism stuff. And they have done some things that are real in that regard. I figured when I looked at it, my take on all this stuff about getting us out of the Paris Climate Accord was a head fake in the first administration. But there have been some good things that have been done. However, as they point out, there are some zombie climate carbon taxes that are hanging in there with the Trump administration. Why would they do that? Well, this is being done in service of Trump's tariff issues. He wants the Department of Energy to review the carbon intensity of American-made products and compare it to the CO2 emissions of similar products that are imported in the United States. So, first of all, he wants to do this to so they can put a label on there and say the American stuff is cleaner, doesn't have as much CO2 as foreign stuff. Well, CO2 is not a pollutant. Plants need that. But again, if they're going to play this game, that is a big red flag. And especially because what's going to come down the line from that? Are there going to be some carbon tariffs that are going to come in? You see how this can all go down the drain with this stuff. I'll cover one more thing here before we take a break. I want to get to the robotics. Oh, I don't have much time left, but I do want to talk about Skynet real quickly. But this is something that Zero Hedge thought this was a worthwhile article. It's from somebody named Jenna McCarthy, who I don't know who she is. She has a website or Substack called Jenna's Side. The headline was, "If you're free to complain about fascism, you don't live in a fascist country." And that's another one of these headlines like, you know, it's colder in New York City than it is in Antarctica thing. It immediately caught my attention. It's like, who is this idiot who's talking about this? First of all, she doesn't have a clue as to the difference between a political system, fascism, and authoritarianism, which is the way governments act. Yes, you can be free to complain to some extent, but there are consequences, even as she pretends that there's no consequences for complaining about what ICE is doing. We are on the road to authoritarian totalitarianism. Fascism frequently becomes authoritarian and totalitarian. Usually it's highly nationalistic and it is usually authoritarian, but that's not necessarily it. I mean, from an economic standpoint, it is a merger of government and business, which you also call crony capitalism and corruption, but it has traditionally been called fascism. Again, if you think that we don't live in nascent fascism, nascent, really, I would say not fascism, but nascent authoritarianism. We are living in authoritarianism and moving rapidly toward totalitarianism.
This is also just a really dumb argument. This is like, yeah, you know, you're trapped in a room that's slowly filling with water, and the person next to you is like, well, we're not drowning yet. You can't say we're drowning. I can still breathe. If you can breathe, you're not drowning.
Yeah,
like,
the joke
well,
the
room
people,
is filling.
Or the joke that people are falling down from the skyscraper window and they get to the 15th floor and they say, well, so far, so good. You know, if you are filming ICE, now you get put on a list, right? We've had several of these situations. First, some guy comes up to somebody and intimidate them. You're on a list now. You know, he puts the camera, his camera in their face. And people said, is this for real or is he just trying to intimidate her? Well, it turns out that if they put you in their database and if you have TSA pre-check, TSA takes you off a pre-check. So how far away are we from if you show up to film the police in public, which is constitutionally protected, and the Supreme Court has agreed with that. I mean, if they've got cameras everywhere and say, whatever you do in public, that is free game for us to videotape you, right? Well, then why doesn't that apply to them? Why do they get special treatment, unequal treatment in that? And so, yes, you have not only, I think, a right, but a duty to record these people. And so if they're going to punish you by taking you off the TSA pre-check list, how long is it going to be before they put you on a no-fly list? How long is it going to be before they put you on a no-buy list? You can't own a gun because you don't like ICE or law enforcement or whatever, right? Or maybe they debank you. Again, if you are interfering with these masked men who are out there doing whatever they're doing by photographing them, how is that interference? Well, the only way I see that as interference is that they've got to stop what they're doing and they've got to come over and crash your car, break your windows, drag you out of the car, beat you, maybe kill you. That's how it interferes with it. And so she puts up a meme saying, really, is that the best you can do to say that we are on a road to fascism? She says, Trump is arguably bombastic, egomaniacal. He can be rude, misogynistic, and childish. He fires off 3 a.m. Twitter tantrums like a drunk raccoon. He insults world leaders to their faces. He was busted bragging about grabbing women by the lady parts. And if he were your uncle, no one would blame you for not inviting him to your wedding. But he's not a dictator, she says.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Really? Seriously? Look at his emergency orders, from pandemic to tariffs. He's a dictator. An executive order is just him writing something out and then claiming that that's a law. If words mean anything, that's a dictatorship. We have a system defined in the Constitution that he swore to uphold as a condition of his office. He has violated that. That's why I won't refer to him as president, except by accident. He is... He wants to be able to write the laws and dictate the tariffs, and he will have one tariff rate today and another one tonight and another one tomorrow, because that's what dictators do. And she says, in America, the worst thing that happens when you stream a boy band is that Spotify recommends more boy bands. Do you know what happens in North Korea? If you're lucky, you get sent to a labor camp. Well, evidently, Gina has never complained about the pandemic. She never complained about Trump's genetic code injection, because if she did, she'd find out what Spotify does to you. They don't wait for the government to do it. The government uses Spotify to do it. Spotify bans you. I know, because that's happened to me. PayPal bans you. I know, because that's what's happened to me as well. And so she thinks that she lives in a free country. I beg to differ. I think she doesn't even know what the first thing she's talking about. She doesn't know the difference between fascism and totalitarianism. She doesn't know the economic definition of fascism. And she hasn't experienced any of this stuff because she's a cheerleader and an influencer.
This is just semantics on her part. She's like, well, you know, it's not a boot stomping on my face. It's a velvet slipper, you know? It's a lot nicer. It's more comfortable.
Well, she gets all twisted about Joy Behar and Rosie O'Donnell. That's really kind of the main thrust of this. Look at how stupid those people are. I'm a member of your tribe. You should read my stuff. And then she has a clip here about Howard Stern saying hospitals shouldn't admit unvaccinated patients. Go home and die, said Howard Stern. Well, you probably die less quickly if you go home than if you go into that hospital because of the things that Trump did to incentivize them doing very harmful things to you. And so, again, it's frustrating to see this type of thing. She said, real authoritarianism doesn't let you complain about authoritarianism. Well, that's why I say that it is authoritarian. Look, filming is a form of speech. And if you're not allowed to film these people, that is censorship of the worst kind, a censorship that comes to you and stomps on your face. Why can't she see that? This is such a sophomore. Boy, completely ran out of time. Anyway, we'll get to the robotic stuff tomorrow. She said, a dictatorship, for the record, is somewhere where people cannot complain, where they cannot consume outside media. Again, try to complain about the pandemic or the vaccines or ICE or whatever and see what you get, Jenna, instead of being a cheerleader for this guy that you admit is reprehensible. See what happens if you try to push back against the system. Thank you for joining us. Have a
briefly,
good day.
Briefly, before we end the show, I'd just like to ask the audience to please pray for my wife's cousin. He has, I believe it's cystic lung fibrosis, and the doctor said he's probably got about 5 years left.
Oh, so that's the first I heard of that. Sorry.
Yeah, in his 50s, and, you know, it's a very hard diagnosis. So please pray for him. His first initial is A, so just pray for A.
We will do. And I see a comment that you got here from Hal 9000 Watson saying I should interview Scotty Kilmer. We're trying to get on his schedule, and so we have that set up. So, yeah, that is one I'd like to get. And I appreciate the other suggestions from people. Have a good day. Thank you.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.